Thank you for coming. This session is called Seeky First Homeschooling, and we'll talk about what that means in a bit. My name is Dave Klein, and it's my wife Debbie over there. Am I louder? Okay. All right, I'll try to talk louder. My name is Dave Klein. My wife Debbie and I have been homeschooling for about 16 years. We started when our first was 4 years old. He's 20 now. Well, we have 13, so we're probably a little bit less than halfway done. But God's been teaching us a lot along the way, and that's really the only reason we're here is because we wanted to share some of the things that he's been teaching us, some things that have been helpful for us. And early on, there were so many people that at conferences like this that really helped us, so we thought we should try to help out if we can, too, and just share some of the things that God has shown us. So that's what we're going to do. Actually, I'd like to start off with prayer, if you don't mind. So. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this conference. We thank you for all the things that you've been teaching all of us these last couple of days. We thank you for the fellowship that people have been able to have here. We thank you for what you're doing at this conference and what you're doing in the families that are here. And we pray for the children of the families that have been attending. And let's pray that you would work in their lives and raise them up to be warriors for you. And I pray that you help us during this talk to be just talking about the things you want us to talk about. Help us to learn what you want us to learn and to be open to whatever you have to teach us. Amen. Okay, so before we get started on the talk, I'd like to have my kids come up and do a couple of songs for you. Partly because I don't think I could fill a whole hour with talking, but also because there's a couple of songs that are pretty applicable to the topic that we're talking about. And there's songs that have been a real blessing to our family, so we want to share them with you guys.
Thank you. God to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Okay, now we'll get started. Okay, so seek ye first homeschooling. It doesn't mean seek homeschooling. It means homeschooling with Jesus' words of seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness in mind. We think that that passage, well, I'm jumping ahead of myself, I guess, a little bit, but yeah, I'll hold that. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a little bit. But that's the goal of this, is to get our homeschooling efforts to be focused on God's kingdom and His righteousness. So what we're talking about is education in general. The way that we educate our children. So to start off, I wanted to do is to talk about, or our goal, one of the goals that God has brought to us, I should say, over time, is that we need to be making His Word the foundation of our homeschooling. And that's not a real uncommon goal. We actually had that one quite a ways back. We wanted God's Word to be the foundation. But then we realized we had that foundation of God's Word, but we're still building on top of it with a lot of other stuff. And so we realized that it needed to be more than just the foundation of our homeschooling. It had to be the focus of it. And so that's what this comes from, is that desire to make God's Word the foundation and the focus of training our children. So I want to start out by talking about what education is. First, we'll start with the dictionary definition, although it's not all that helpful. But I'll read a couple of definitions I found. One is to provide schooling, to train. That's kind of an obvious one, huh? In other words, to train by formal instruction and supervised practice, especially in a skill, trade, or profession. Another one is to develop mentally, morally, or aesthetically, especially by instruction, to provide with information, to inform. This last one, which is one that's kind of used sometimes wrongly, is to persuade or condition to feel, believe, or act in a desired way. So that's what the dictionary says about education. We're going to look in a minute about what God's Word says about it. But first we'll talk a bit about the purposes of education. An obvious one is to prepare our children to provide for families, to prepare for adult life, to prepare for success in life. And with that one, we have to be kind of careful, because we have to look at what do we mean by success. I mean, the world has a specific definition, maybe different definitions of success, and God has a definition of success. And we need to be trying to steer our children towards His definition of success. Which brings up to the last reason, which I think is probably the most important reason that we really need to be training and educating our children, is to prepare them to serve God in whatever way He decides. So then the thing I have as a question about is whether the standard education process, what we've always done, what we all grew up with, what many of us still do today, is that the best process to fulfill those purposes. So we look at things like teaching by subject. You know, breaking out things, individual subjects, and teaching them that way. Testing, standardized tests, or just tests to test progress on things, are those really as necessary or helpful as we've always been told? Things like grade levels, college prep. It seems that there's so much emphasis in the primary grades, and especially the last 4 years of our children's training, there's so much emphasis on preparing for college that sometimes college ends up becoming the goal. I did a little talk on that yesterday to some of the young people, and you know, that type of thing. If college is something that God has planned for your children, that's something that's going to have to be a means to a further goal, a means to an end, not the end in itself. But those are some of the things that we get led into by following the standard norms of educating. So now I want to talk a little bit about what God's Word says about it. So I looked and looked and looked, and I couldn't find the word educate or education anywhere in the Bible. But there is a lot of stuff about teaching. So I found a few verses I wanted to share about that in here. One's a pretty popular homeschooling verse, Deuteronomy 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Like I said, that's one that most of us have heard before in homeschooling circles and at conferences and different places like that. And it's an important one. I think it is a key verse for why we do need to homeschool, why we do need to train our children ourselves, because we can't do what this is telling us if our children are off someplace else most of the day. Another one is to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's another one that's pretty well known and another really valuable verse for us to think about. And the way he should go, I mean, that's something that we've got to be looking to the Lord to show us what that way is, and then trying to train him in that way. There's an interesting thing I found about that verse as I was looking into it a little more, that the word that's used there to train actually means to narrow. And it's kind of the opposite of what we're taught a lot in the world about what education is for. You know, we're told that education is to broaden us, right? To broaden our view, our horizons, that type of thing. And people often talk about, in those terms, they'll talk about having a well-rounded education. But that reminds me of a verse in Psalm 127:4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And what warrior would want arrows that were well-rounded? You know, they wouldn't be a lot of good. So this is one example, and we'll talk a little bit more about this, I think, later, that of how the world's wisdom is almost always the exact opposite of God's. Not just that they're a little bit different, they're almost exact opposite so many times. It's kind of amazing. The more you think about that, you'll find more and more situations where that's the case. So we can see that the world's method of education probably isn't the one that God would have us to do. I mean, we could talk a lot about the practical side of that, and I think Mr. Boyer mentioned a few things in some of his talks about how the schools and their method of training really wasn't designed to be in the children's best interest. It had other goals in mind. So let's talk a little bit now about God's methods of preparation and training. In Acts 4:13, so one of my favorite verses for homeschooling and for parenting and discipleship in general, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this is when the Peter and John had a little confrontation with the Pharisees and stuff. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And this is the part I love. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That was his method of training these men. These were unlearned, ignorant men. They probably knew how to read, because most people growing up in that time period, at least the Jews, knew how to read so they could read the Bible. But they didn't have any formal training. They were unlearned. But they had been with Jesus. He had discipled them, and they learned that way. They learned by living with him, by working with him, by serving with him, by following him. Okay, here's another passage I want to share here in 1 Corinthians 1:26. This kind of goes along with the discussion about how things are so much, the world's ways are so much different than God's. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. And there's a good reason for that, and that was that no flesh should glory in his presence. The world looks at the outward things. It looks at all the things we can learn. It looks at, you know, my child learned to speak Latin at age 5, things like that. And that's impressive to the world. That means nothing to God. He judges things differently. He looks at things differently than the world does. And we need to be looking at things the way he does. So that's some of the things I found on training and preparation. And on knowledge, there's a lot of stuff written in the Bible about knowledge. But one thing that caught my attention is a pretty well-known verse about it. It's in 1 Corinthians 8:1. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity or love edifies. So there's good things written about in the Bible about knowledge too. But that one I think is an important one, because the knowledge that we gain often through the normal schooling methods, the knowledge that we are told to seek after so diligently, is I think the type of knowledge that puffs up. There's other verses that do talk about knowledge of the Lord, knowledge of his word, and we're to add to our faith knowledge. You know, so there's a place for knowledge, and we need that knowledge, but it's knowledge that will come from him, not from the world. And here I want to share a quote by Jim Elliot. Anybody here not know who Jim Elliot is? You all know, right? That's great. And the talk with the young people, a bunch of them didn't know. It was kind of sad to see that. But this is a quote that from a biography by Elizabeth Elliot called Shadow of the Almighty, which is an excellent book, especially if you do have teens or just young adults. It's just a very encouraging book about his life, and it's almost all taken from excerpts from his letters and journals with a little bit of explanation in between, and also letters from other people to him or things that people wrote about him. So it's really a really neat book. I'd highly recommend that. It's called Shadow of the Almighty. Anyhow, this is a quote that in a letter that he wrote to his dad in reply to something his dad had written to him about the importance of education. He was at Wheaton College at the time. His dad was really in favor of him going there and getting his college degree. I think his father was never able to get a college degree, and so he really wanted Jim to get one. And this is what he wrote back. He says, "You speak of it as rounding out one's manhood. It rounds out all right, but I'm afraid sometimes it's more in the style of 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up. Culture, philosophy, disputes, drama, concerts and opera, politics, anything that can occupy the intellect seems to turn aside the hearts of many here on campus from a humble life in the steps of the Master. No, education is dangerous, and personally I am beginning to question its value in a Christian's life. I do not disparage wisdom. That comes from God, not PhDs." I could probably dig up a bunch of quotes from that book by him. That was just one that kind of caught the picture there here. But you can see through his times in college that he really struggled by the fact that all these other things he had to learn that were part of the course, he had to do it, but they were pulling him away from the Word. And this was a young man who was used to having a lot of time in God's Word. And he saw the dangers of giving up that time for these other pursuits. Okay, here's that mentioned another verse about knowledge and how knowledge does have a place, but we need to keep it in its proper perspective and proper priority. 2 Peter 1:5 says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." So you see that the knowledge was the end of that list of things to be. First was adding to first thing was faith, and then was the virtue. So those are the things I think in our children that we need to focus on building in that direction. We need to be working on encouraging their faith first of all. Then we need to work on virtue, character. Rick Boyer talked a lot about that in some of his other talks too, about the importance of character. And even just as a little aside on a practical level, in preparing to earn a living later on, character is so much more needed in the job market today than skills are. You know, I've been on the hiring end before, and I would much rather have someone who I could tell had good character, good work habits, good, an honest person, someone who's willing to work hard, than someone who had lots of experience and skills. If they weren't really willing to cooperate and do the work, then that was kind of useless. Skills can be picked up pretty easily. Character kind of takes a lifetime to develop. But that was off topic, sorry. Here's another in 2 Chronicles 1:10. "Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great?" That was what Solomon asked for when God told him to ask for whatever he wanted. That was his choice. He saw the importance of the calling he had, and he saw that what he really needed for that was wisdom and knowledge from God. And then God gave him that, and then all the other stuff on top of it. And then another verse that has to do with knowledge is Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So again, we see that true knowledge, the knowledge that we really need to have and our children really need to have, starts with the fear of the Lord. It starts with the knowledge of Him. And now we're coming to the the part about the seek ye first. Well, let's read that passage first. In Matthew 6:31, it's in others, I think, too, but this is the one I've got down here. "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof," or the trouble or the trials thereof. I think that verse really applies to our children and training our children. I know that's not directly what it's written for, but by way of analogy, It's talking about what we do to earn our living, what we do to provide food, what we do to provide clothing. We work hard for those things. We sometimes strive after those things. Sometimes we worry about those things. And he's saying, don't. Those things will be given to us if we seek first his kingdom and righteousness. That's as adults. That's what he's telling us. That if we seek him first, everything we need, we'll get. He knows what we need. He knows better than we do what we need. And he'll provide what we need if we seek him first. So in training our children, especially in thinking of one of the purposes, which was to provide for a family or provide for family when they're adults, if you take that purpose of education and you apply this principle to it, you see then that even in their education, if they're seeking him first, if they're seeking the knowledge of him and knowledge of his word first, then everything else they need will be given to them. If they need to know, you know, whatever subject, math, history, science, whatever it might be, he'll give them those things. Not saying we don't do anything towards that, but if we keep the focus of it, teaching his word, then those other things will come along easily. I don't think we ever have to worry that we're not doing enough of some subject. And we've met so many people, and in our own family, we've gone through this. We think, are we teaching enough math? Are we teaching enough science? Do we have enough of this covered? But it's so rare to hear people worried about whether or not they're teaching enough of God's word to their children. But I think that's really the more important thing. And speaking of how important it is, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that tell us about the importance of God's word. I think it's obvious, but I think it's easy for us to forget. Partly, I think, maybe because we have it so readily available now, we take it for granted. If you think about the time when people had to hand copy Bibles and they were very rare and very expensive, I think maybe people value them a little more than we do now. We can pick them up anywhere so cheaply. I'm grateful that we can. I'm grateful I can walk into a Walmart and get a Bible if I need one. But I think sometimes that causes us to lose sight of how precious it is. So there's some verses here I'd like to share that talk about that. One is when Peter was... I guess when Jesus asked the disciples, are you going to leave too? And Peter answered and says, so then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And right there, you can't put much more value on anything than that. His words are the words of eternal life. And there's nothing in this world, there's nothing at all that our children might pursue or that we might want to give to them or do for them that could be in any way nearly as important as their eternal life. And that's where his words lead to. And then another passage, and this is another one of my favorites as far as God's word and its place. This is when it's in Luke 10:38-42 when Jesus was talking to or visiting Mary and Martha. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. And what was that one thing? She was sitting at his feet and hearing his word. You know, I don't think that Jesus was rebuking Martha here. I could see that I could just kind of pick up and reading the compassion that he must have had for her. You know, that she was trying to serve. She was not doing a bad thing. But even that pales in comparison to the value of just listening to his word. So I really like that passage. Okay, so now I want to get into an example of God's plans for preparing the kings of Israel. If some of you have been by our table, you've probably heard us talk about that before. But I think it's a really good illustration for how he would want us to prepare our children. I mean, if this is the plan that he had for preparing a person to lead his people, I think it's, you know, a good indicator that's a pretty valuable way to teach. This is in Deuteronomy 17:18-20. It says, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom. This is when they do get a king. And this is well before they ever had one, but he knew that they were going to want one at some point. Earlier verses in this chapter say that. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. So God's plan for the kings of Israel was to write a copy of the law, to write the Bible into a book, and then not to stop there, but then to read from it every day. And then he goes on to explain the benefits that would come from that. Now, looking at Israel's history, I kind of doubt that any of the kings ever did that. I'm almost certain Saul didn't, and probably not David. And Solomon, if you read the rest of the chapter, goes on to talk about that he doesn't get multiply horses for himself or multiply wives for himself and all the things that Solomon did. So I don't think he did that either. But it was obviously something that God had wanted them to do. And I think it was for good reason. As I was studying this stuff and preparing for this session, or actually it was last year when I first did something similar to this one, I found another couple of verses that together, if you'll bear with me, I think it kind of puts together a bit of a bigger picture. In Luke 11:52, it says, "Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered." And then in Proverbs 1:7, which we read earlier, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So if you look at the fear of the Lord being the beginning of knowledge, and you see that the lawyers took away the key of knowledge, I don't think it's a real stretch to compare that key of knowledge and the beginning of knowledge. And so I kind of wonder if the thing that the lawyers had taken away from them was that fear of the Lord, which was the beginning or the key to the knowledge that they could have had. And then I look back at what we just read in Deuteronomy 17 as one of the benefits of them writing this book of the law and reading from it every day. One of the benefits of that was that they would learn to fear the Lord his God. So you kind of put those three together, and it kind of, I think, kind of makes a picture of possibly the failure to do that, the failure to take God's word, to write it out on their own. And we'll talk a little more about, I think, some of the benefits of that. But to write the book of the law and to read it every day and then to do what it says, that was the way they would learn to fear the Lord. And then that fear of the Lord was the key to knowledge. And that's the knowledge that they didn't have, and I think that's what caused a lot of their troubles later on and causes a lot of troubles for us today. Okay, so I guess that leads me into the next part of this. Those are some of the reasons, I guess I should say, why I think some of the reasons why I think we need to make God's word more of the focus. This is some of the scriptural background, some of the things that led us to believe this, that God's word is the most important thing that we teach our children. It may not be the only thing that we teach them. We will teach them other things that are tools that they can use to serve the Lord however he leads them. But we want this to be the focus. And if something else falls by the wayside because we're spending more time learning God's word, then I'm very okay with that, because I think this is the most important thing. I think in the end, that's the only thing that's going to matter to God. You know, when they stand before him someday, he's not going to ask them how much they learned of math or science or anything else. But what they did with what he showed them in his word is going to be what's important. So one of the things that our family has done to do that is copying the Bible. We used to have a little booklet, paperback book about that, but we don't have any printed right now. But it is on a CD that you can get over there still with our stuff at the table over there, in electronic form. There's a book and an audio book of it too. It's called Education of Kings, and it talks all about that practice. But what we do is we'll have our children take the Bible starting right at the beginning, and they start writing from Genesis. They write it into a notebook. They'll read a bit of it, they'll write a bit of it. They're basically transcribing, being scribes and copying the Bible. We have them do it carefully. We have them correct mistakes if they make them, try to teach them to honor God's word and to cherish it, that it is important. It's important to be accurate with it. It's important to handle it correctly. So we want to teach them that. And that's a big part, not the only thing, but a big part of their school day. A big part of what we do for them during the day is they take their time to do that. Another thing that we do as they're going through and doing that is we have them look for one verse that day of all the ones they copied to be their favorite verse of the day. And that verse we want them to write into a separate notebook, and then to write a little bit about why that was their favorite verse. What did God show them from that verse? Why did they think it was important or unique? And then that we hope will help to keep the whole process from becoming too mechanical. You know, if they could just do it by rote and just kind of, in the eye, out the hand, and never, it doesn't stop along the way. So we're hoping that this causes them to stop and think about it. And we've seen some fruit from it. We've seen insights that the Lord has given our children through this process. And so the reason why I think it's important, not that it's a law or something we have to do, and not that it's the only way you can learn God's word, but when you read something, you retain it a little bit. When you write it, you retain it a lot more. I mean, a lot of people do that just in taking notes in classes and things like that to learn things. They write them down. And you may not even read your notes again, but just the process of writing them helps you to remember it. And then further, we're hoping that by trying to think through the verses so they can pick which ones are their favorite for the day, that they're then even learning even better and taking it to heart. And we, like I said, we've seen that. We've seen, like, for some of our children who've been doing this for about 3-4 years now, something like that, they're kind of like our reference library for Old Testament stuff. You know, who was the one that did such and such? And they'll usually know it because because of writing through that. It's really helped them to learn it. And it's also, I think, important because by making that the most important thing that we do, and letting our children know that that's the most important thing that they're doing, I think it's helping them to have a better value of God's word and its place in their lives. If we tell them that God's word is really important, but then we put all the focus and all the stress and emphasis on learning other things, I think that they learn what we really do, learn based on what we do, not on what we say. And so I think that they'll learn that these other topics are really the most important thing. So along those lines, I mentioned earlier things like grade levels. We decided at one point not to do grade levels because I kind of felt that pulled us into the school's way of doing things. And I didn't want us just to do school at home. I still use the term homeschooling because people know what it means, but I don't really like that term because I don't think school is really the best way to train our children. I think discipleship is. And schools and discipleship are really kind of polar opposites. Schools were around when Jesus walked the earth, but he didn't use that method. He used discipleship. And I think that's the opportunity that we have by having our children at home is that we can disciple them. And in fact, there's a message by a brother named Jonathan Linval, who's out in California. He actually spoke here years and years ago. But he has a message called Homeschooling versus Discipleship. And I'd really encourage you to grab one of those. I think, do we have any of those left? Yeah, they're on the table over there. It's a CD. So those are all free. Anything at our table is free, so you can grab one if you want. But that message really encouraged our family years ago. Tied in with that, there's some friends of ours we know. They had a daughter. She's older now, but when she was about 10, somebody had asked her what grade she was in. And this family also didn't do grade levels. We didn't, it was, you know, separate. They were led to that separately. Nothing to do with us, but they didn't do that either. So she didn't have a grade that she was in. But someone asked her that, her answer was just, "I'm in Joshua." Because they'd apparently been copying the Bible, and that's where she was at right then. So we don't really have that in our home, but it's kind of a neat idea. But it showed us, though, that was really neat about it was that was normal. That was what she was used to. That was what she thought of as the important thing. That's what she measured her progress by, you know, not by how long she'd been doing something, or even how old she was. It was by where she was in her Bible copy work. This same family had something they did too that was kind of neat, which we haven't started doing, but we made with some of our younger ones. Is before they were learning to read, because with the Bible copy, we pretty much start right at the time when they're learning to read and write. But even before then, what this family would do is have them learn the books of the Bible by writing them on popsicle sticks, and then they give them this big pile of popsicle sticks, and then the children have to sort them out in order. So that's kind of a neat thing that same family where that quote from that girl came from. So that's something that's been a real blessing to our family and something that we've been trying to use to keep God's word as the focus in our children's education. That's one of the things. There's another one that we've been using that's been a real help to our family too. It's been difficult to do and to stick with, but it's been a real blessing, and that is family devotions. If we remember in the verse we read earlier on in Deuteronomy, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way," and then catch these last two, "when thou liest down and when thou risest up." And so I can't see any better fit for those verses than morning and evening family devotions. And so that's something that we've tried to do. And in our morning devotions, we use a technique that a friend of ours passed on to us, and it's also in a little booklet over on the table there, called Teaching Your Child One Verse a Day. And what we do is we'll take a passage that we're going to learn as a family, and I'll start off, I'll read the whole passage to everybody, and they'll recite it back to me. So I'll read a half, part of a verse, they'll recite it back, and I'll go on all the way through like that. And then that first day, we'll take that first verse and we'll work together as a family to memorize it. And then beyond memorizing it, we'll go over and we have a whiteboard, dry erase board up on our wall. We'll write that verse out and maybe drew an illustration or maybe some other related verses or thoughts and on ways that verse applies. Or just, we'll just basically study that verse that day. And then the kids have some more of these notebooks. We've got a lot of these notebooks. So there's the college ruled, what are they called? Composition books. We get those because they hold up better than some of the other kind. Like the spiral bound, those things, the pages start to fall after a while. These composition books hold up really good. And if you get them at back to school time at Walmart, you get a big, they're really good deals. But anyways, they're really helpful and handy books. So we use those for this also. And the children will each day write that verse that we studied that day. And if they want to copy the illustration that was on the whiteboard, they can do that or add their own little illustrations or notes. And their devotion books. And by doing that, as a family, we've been able to memorize several different passages. Actually, well, the kids have. My excuse is that since I'm the one reading them, I don't really memorize it, but I think it's just, that may just be an excuse. But I don't have it memorized as well as they do, but there's several passages that the children have memorized really well, and which comes in handy other times when there's a situation comes up, a trial, a problem, an attitude problem maybe. There's usually a passage that we've studied and a verse that will apply that we can bring to mind quickly, and that's been a real blessing. So that's another one of the things that we do. There's others. We're always looking, always asking God to show us other ways that we can make God's Word the focus, trying to apply it to different problems and situations, looking for books that will point our children back to His Word. One of the things that we've done in our family, which may be a little bit extreme in some people's views, is we've pretty much removed most fiction books from our house, just because the Bible speaks so highly of truth all the time. It's all throughout the Bible the value of truth and how important truth is, and it doesn't say anywhere the value of fiction. So we said, let's just stick with the more valuable stuff. I mean, there's only so much time that they have to read, and our children love to read, and they'll read anytime they can, even when they're not supposed to sometimes. But if they're going to be reading something, I'd rather just have them read something that's more helpful and more useful, something that will lead them to the Lord, something that will lead to life, which the truth does, right? The truth will set us free. So that's another one of the things that God has led us to, and it's not something I'm saying everyone else needs to do, but it's just been something that's helped us to keep reality and the reality of God's Word as the focus of in our family and in our training of our children. Let me think if there's anything else I want to say on this stuff. another point on this whole thing, especially with the devotions, but in all of these things, I think it's important. There's 2 points I want to make. One is the importance of doing this first thing in the morning. So our morning devotions is pretty much the first thing that we do once everybody's awake, at least. Awake, brush your teeth, that kind of basic things. And then before we start any other school activities, before breakfast, before anything else, we'll have our family devotions. And the reason for that is because we believe that the thing that we do first, and by keeping it first, I think it gives the clear signal to our children that that's really the most important thing. If we have other things that we think, we gotta get that taken care of first, and then we can do whatever it was we had to take care of first, will be seen as a more important activity. And then on a related thought, I think it's really important for us dads to be involved in this. And we know some families where they'd have morning devotions, but the dad has to go to work early, so the mom handles it. And it's good that they're still doing that. Still, that time in God's Word will always have value. God's Word does not return void. Any time we spend reading it or studying it, it's going to have benefit for us and for our children. But if Dad can be involved in it, it's so much better, because that's another thing that's just kind of been shown by observation. I don't know if there's any real studies on it, but you can see that when Dad gets involved and teaches a subject, sometimes Dad might teach math or science or something like that. Whatever subject Dad teaches in the home, that's the one that the children will perceive as the most important subject, because it's special. It's the one Dad teaches us. And so I think it's really important for dads to be the ones leading and teaching God's Word to their children. And I know it's a difficult thing to do. I was living about an hour away from work for a while, and I had to take a van pool to get to work, and it left at 6 in the morning, so I had to be there at 10 to 6, or leave at 10 to 6 to catch the van pool. And it was very difficult to have morning devotions in that time. And I have to confess, we weren't super consistent. There were times when we just didn't make it. But we tried, because we think it is important for the dad to be involved. So for you dads that are here, I really encourage you to find the time to do that. One creative thing that we heard that a family did, where their dad really did have to leave too early to even wake everybody up. So it just wasn't practical. So they decided they'd go with the Jewish model of the day. And the day would start in the evening. And so they'd have their evening devotions and consider that the beginning of the next day. So But they at least were trying to do something to keep that in mind, in their children's mind, that this is something important that dad's setting aside a time to do. So, you know, seek the Lord for wisdom on what you should do individually. I don't want to try and tell you guys what to do. But I would encourage you to try to find a way to get involved in teaching your children God's Word. If you help on other subjects too, that's great. But make sure that God's Word is something that you as dads are really involved in teaching them. And that it'll make a big difference for them. And I think that's about all I had. Unless anyone has any questions, comments, I'll throw anything. No? Okay. I'm sorry. I told you I couldn't fill up an hour. I should have had him do a few more songs. But these are some things I just wanted to share with you guys. Stuff that God's put on our heart, things that have helped us a lot. I know we have a long ways to go. We still have struggles, and we're still learning. I really think that this whole process is something that God's using to teach us as parents too. I guess I will add this one little extra thought in as a side note, that we're focusing here on talking about training our children, but I think that we're being trained just as much. And I think that children are God's discipleship tool for parents. You know, that he uses our children to train us, to teach us, show us our shortcomings. Often we see them in the mirrors of our children, right? We have a bad habit or something that we do wrong. They'll do it too, and they'll do it worse. So we'll see it real clearly. And so, you know, being home with our children more, being involved with them more, is going to be a good way for us to see those things more clearly and to deal with them. And we have to deal with them, because if we don't, it just gets worse and worse. And so, like I said, it's a discipleship tool for us that God uses, and I'm grateful for that. Oh, one last thing I did want to mention, because this does come up sometimes when talking about this, is concerns about not teaching other subjects or not teaching enough of the things that are required by state laws. And I think Wisconsin's laws aren't too bad, but some other states are pretty strict that you have to have so much of this and so much of that. And actually, I have to be honest, I don't really know what the laws are here, because I'm not concerned about not following those laws. I know we are to follow the laws of land, and we do anywhere we can, but there's the principle of whether we obey God or man on certain things. And also the principle of rendering unto Caesar. That verse in Luke 20:25, he said, and he said unto them, render therefore, this is talking about money, but I think it applies, render therefore unto Caesar the things that which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And our children are God's, not Caesar's. Our children do not belong to the government, they belong to God. And so if we let the time that we spend, our children's time that we spend, our time that we spend with them, the resources that we spend, if we let the government decide those things, then I think we really are rendering our children unto Caesar. And they're not, they don't belong to them, they belong to the Lord. So we really feel that we're going to do whatever the Lord shows us to train our children is what we're going to do. And if there's consequences for that, we'll take the consequences. But I think it's just too important for them to see that reality, you know, that God's the one who decides these things, and we're going to just try the best we can to be faithful to those things. And that's all I had to share. So thank you. Oh, do you have a question? It's harder. We will sometimes try to bring all of the books with us, and we did have for a while a little smaller whiteboard we actually bring with us and use. But sometimes we'll end up just doing just some reading through the Bible together and singing some songs together. We can pretty much do that anywhere. The times it's harder is if we're visiting with other people who aren't. Yeah, I understand. It can be awkward, but it can be a blessing to do it anyways. We were visiting Debbie's sister and her husband, and they aren't believers. And we were staying at their house. But we still said, well, let's get the kids together in the morning. We sat in the room, and we started just having some song time together. And it was neat is that my brother-in-law came and never joined us. And he's not a believer, but he wasn't antagonistic at all. And he seemed to admire what we were doing. And so he joined in with us, and we had a good time. And then we read a passage together. And so I think we can do it anywhere pretty much. We just have to make it, you know, and it's easy to think, oh, I just can't right now. And I have to confess, we've fallen for that a lot of times. We thought, oh, we're too busy, or this is just not the right situation. But it's worth the effort, I think, if we can try to do it anyways. And, you know, and God's merciful. If we can't and we don't or we fail in some way, then, you know, it's not all over, and we can pick up and try again the next time. The nice thing about this, especially with the devotions, is you get to try again every day. So, any other questions? No? Okay. Well, thank you all for coming. I guess you have a little extra break time in between here. The next talk is in... Oh, yeah, there is stuff over here if you have time, because you want to browse through. Everything on that table over there is free. There's some CDs and some pamphlets of some things. These are all things that were written by people that we met that have been helpful to our family and a blessing, so we want to share those things too. So, oh, here's a question in the back. No. Debbie and I can play the stereo pretty good, if it's not too complicated. We have no musical background at all. What it started from basically was us and a couple of our kids when we only had a couple, and some, you know, hymnals borrowed from church, and we would just sing as, together as a family, and you know, we just enjoyed doing that. And I'm sure it didn't sound good, or we probably weren't, you know, in tune or on key or whatever that stuff means. I believe in music without doors. You know, you don't need keys. But our children started learning that stuff, and we at one point our oldest son wanted to learn guitar, and how old was he then? About 13, 12, 13, something like that. So we got him a really inexpensive guitar and a teach yourself guitar book, and he learned from that. Another one, a couple of our daughters picked up those little plastic recorders. Actually, while we got at the music store, we got the guitar. We found these little plastic recorders for a couple of dollars. Got those, and a couple of our daughters became pretty good at those. And the son plays harmonica. And so then they're learning all these things. Another daughter's learning piano. It's all, they're all just teaching themselves. We have another peculiar thing about our family is that we decided to not do, since we're keeping our children at home to train them, we decided we're going to do that consistently. So we don't send our children to other classes for other things either. So we don't send them to music lessons. We don't send them to driving school. You know, so in Wisconsin, our kids can't get licenses till they're 18 because they don't have a driver's ed. So it's a consequence, but we live with it. And that may be extreme, but it's just something we felt like the Lord wanted us to do, so that's what we just did. And we're just trying to be blindly obedient, you know, maybe even foolishly obedient sometimes, but we'd rather err on the side of obedience than not. So, and like I said, that's just our family. So they didn't have the ability to learn through lessons anywhere. We didn't know anybody close to us who would come and teach us or anything like that, teach them, so we just got books. And we've been amazed over the years at how much our children can learn from books. Like some of my sons are learning to work on cars. They're learning carpentry. Our oldest son just did all new cabinets in our house, and I've never touched a power tool, really. I once built a doghouse when Debbie and I first got married, and it was 8 foot square because I was afraid to try to cut a piece of plywood. I built it in my garage, and then we couldn't get it out to the backyard. We had to take down a section of the fence to, anyways. Not important here. But they're learning all these things, and it's just from books. I love the Half Price bookstore. You get all, people buy self-help books or how-to books, you know, and then they get rid of them at the Half Price bookstore. So you get them real cheap there. So, but a note on that. So many things I found you can learn from books. Almost anything physical, tangible, mechanical, you can learn from books. Even music, even, you know, things that people think are you would need some teacher for, you can learn them from books. But the one thing I don't think you can learn from books is living a Christian life. That has to be modeled, I think. I mean, they can learn a lot from God's word, and I think God uses his word. It's living and active, and God does use it. But they need to see that in our lives, too. They need to see us modeling that. So that's one thing that's an important thing for us to focus on our own lives and our own relationships with the Lord, because our relationship with the Lord is going to have a big impact on our children's relationships with the Lord. So, anything else? No. Okay. Well, thank you all for coming, and enjoy the rest of the thing. I have another talk here called Avoiding Angry Monkey Syndrome, which isn't about avoiding anger, but it is about avoiding being a monkey. So if you want to join me for that at 4:30, I think it is. So until then, thanks.
No. Okay.